Now I'd like to talk a little bit about prayer with believing. This is another topic that confuses Christians for a lot of reasons. Some because they believe God controls everything and he's going to decide whether to bless you or curse you. Whereas we went through it rather quickly in Deuteronomy, didn't read all the details, but even in under the law, God didn't capriciously decide who was going to be blessed and who was going to be cursed. He gave them conditions. If you live my word, you're blessed. You forsake me and don't do what my word says, there are curses in the law. Now, we're not under that law at all. But there are still things about how to pray with believing. And many Christians get confused on this because they still think God just decides. Everything that happens, they say, is God's will. So if you walk outside and get hit by a truck in the parking lot, it was the will of God. And there's meaning behind it. We just have to figure out what it means. It sounds ridiculous, but I would say a large proportion of Christianity believes and teaches that type of thing. Every group's a little different, but I hear it more than I'd like. And it's very unfortunate that people believe that. Yet the scriptures are clear that when we see what God's word says and we pray with believing, we get results. That's one thing that confuses people. The other thing that confuses people is, what is God willing to do for us? What can I pray for with believing and expect to happen? I live in Washington, D.C., in that general area. I work a few blocks from the White House, and of course, I don't know about here in Hawaii, but on the mainland, making fun of D.C. is quite a national sport. People love to do it, and often for good reason. But at the end of the day, we have a constitution that says we're supposed to talk and work things out. So if you hear people talking, arguing, and having disagreements over things that happen in D.C., it's the way our country's designed. And then in the end, people vote, and that's what we do. And we try to fight things out. We spend too much money and time in arguing rather than hitting the streets with machine guns, which they still do in many countries to solve problems. So we may waste a lot of time and money, but at least we tend to solve most things peacefully. But the point is, there are a lot of people who don't like D.C., so I have this great story of this woman I'd known for years in the fellowship. And this was a couple decades ago. She just told one of my friends she was just going to pray that God would open a big crevasse and swallow up D.C. and it would disappear. And me being the practical one, I'm thinking, okay, you get rid of this government, what's going to replace it? But that's another story. The point of it was, there's no place in the Bible that says if you don't like a government or a city, you can pray that the earth swallows it up. What it actually says in Timothy is, pray for leaders and all that are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So if you want a Christian approach to how you should think about government, pray. Now, we're in a free country, so you can vote any way you want. But don't you dare pick out some cause or politician that just because you like it and claim it's Christian. Because if you look at all the verses that talk about feeding the poor and taking care of the unfortunate, you'd be a Democrat. If you take all the verses that talk about standing on your own feet and trusting God, you'd be a Republican. And you can argue either one from the scriptures. And I'm not telling you how to vote and what your politics should be, but your Christian responsibility is pray for leaders and all that are in authority. And other than that, you vote any way you want. Just don't have the nerve to come pound on my door and say, you got to go with this guy because he's the most Christian. Really? What does that say in the Bible? I'd like to see that. So you're welcome to your politics. You're welcome to pick your favorite candidate. You go for it. But you come to me, I'm going to start asking documentation. But never mind. The main point of that story is not to give you a lecture on politics, which I guess I just did. It's to say that this woman was so upset with the things going on in D.C. because the leaders at that time disagreed with her politics so badly. She she was going to pray that the earth opened up and swallowed them up. Yet, we can only pray for what's available from God. And we know what's available by what he tells us. Going back to our restaurant story, you can go into the restaurant, and if all they have is cheeseburgers and grilled cheese, you could ask for a lobster. Now, the chef might have one in the refrigerator waiting to take home for his dinner, and he might cook it for you. He could. You can ask. But there's no guarantee you're going to get a lobster at the Burger Shack. Now, same thing. God tells us many things he's willing to do for us. And you can ask for any of them with absolute confidence that he'll do them. Now, you can ask for some he hasn't said, and he might do it. But you can't ask with that absolute confidence that he'll do it when he hasn't promised it. And this also confuses Christians. So what I'm going to do is go show you some things you can understand from the Bible about what is available from God and what is not. The short answer, before I get into the details, is that God has a lot of general promises, like he'll supply your needs. But that verse doesn't tell how he'll do it. So let's say I need transportation. I just got a job 10 miles from here, and I need a way to get to work. I have a pair of sneakers, or slippers, as you'd say here. I have a pair of slippers, and that's all I have. And I got to be at work 5 days a week at 8 a.m., 10 miles from here. I need a way to get there. I could do a car. I could do a bus. I could get a bicycle. I could get a moped. I could become a better runner than I am. I could find a ride with a neighbor who works in that area. I could carpool, all kinds of things. But unless God tells me exactly how he's going to fill that need, I don't know. Now, if I had money, I'd just go buy a car. But what if I don't have any money for a car? I still have to get there. So rather than limit God to the what I want, you know, some people would decide, God wants to bless me and he loves me, so I want a brand new Porsche. And I'm going to pray for that, and I know God will do it. Well, he doesn't promise you a brand new Porsche. You might save up and get one, and he might do some great miracle and tell some wonderful Christian benefactor to give you one. That could happen. But if God hasn't told you he's going to get you a Porsche, what has he told you? He'll supply your need. So pray that he'll supply your need and get you transportation. And then don't limit God. And a lot of times God will come through in ways you've never dreamed of. You tell me your tidbit. See?
I mean, that is totally like, because I've read that, you know what I mean? Like, God will provide.
Right.
You know, just terrible. You got to speak it out, right? You got to, like, be proactive. Oh, God loves you so much. Sometimes it just comes on your doorstep.
Yep.
And so you didn't even know.
Yep.
And I walk into this house. Crazy thing is, this area that I've been walking the dog, I can't tell you how many times I said, Lord, I was just walking with you. There's so peaceful.
Hallelujah.
And then I walk in their house, and they start giving me testimony with the first 15 minutes we share testimonies.
Good.
I'm telling you, God is good.
He is. I'm with you. Well, that's great record. Thank you. And that's the whole point, is God will find a way through. So some people, Christians, are often in two extremes on the idea of prayer. Some Christians don't think God's going to help them, so they don't bother to ask. Other people get so specific that they expect God to do something he's never promised, and then they get all discouraged when it doesn't come to pass. But like you, you just needed a place to go with your dog. And God provided it in a way way beyond what you could have imagined. And that's why we don't limit God. You just pray that God will come through and see what great doors he opens. And I'm sure we all have stories like that, which are good. Let's do more of that during the break. Let's talk about that. Any rate, Matthew 21. No, I didn't read 1 John yet. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. If we ask anything according to God's will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So that's the big key in verse 14. Ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Well, again, how do we know his will? We know it because it's either in the written word, where he says he'll supply our need, or by revelation, he tells us. Going back to that restaurant, I'm really overdoing this analogy. But the food, it's either written on the menu, or the guy comes in and tells you what the specials are. Well, we know the will of God either by looking in the written word, or by God speaking by the manifestations of the Holy Spirit and giving us specific information for our lives. So it's great stuff. So if we know that he hears us, verse 15, whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desired of him. But that verse 14 is really important. We ask anything according to his will. That's great. Now with that in mind, let's go to Matthew 21:19, which is a verse that I think is sometimes misunderstood. And in biblical research, if there's a verse that's unclear or might be misunderstood, we let other verses explain it. We don't guess. It's like if you're reading your biology book or chemistry book or math book, get to chapter 3 and there's a term you don't know, you could guess. Or you could go back to chapter 1 or 2 or look in the glossary at the end and see how they define it. You'll probably get a better answer on your homework if you do that. Okay, Matthew 21, verse 19. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith, believing, and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And there are people who will say, just as it says here, anything you ask for in prayer, believing, you'll receive. Well, that would mean that that woman who wanted a big crevice to open up and swallow Washington, D.C., could have it if she believed it. But you have a verse like this that says this, to sort of temper it or explain it better, you look at what we read in 1 John, that whatsoever we ask according to his will. And the scriptures don't say that if you're not happy with your government, you should pray they disappear into the earth. It says you should pray for them, for leaders and all in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. And in our country, next election, you can vote for somebody else. That we can also do that. But what the scriptures say is, pray for leaders and all that are in authority. Isn't that great? So, and the other thing is the word all, when it's used in the Bible, sometimes is confusing. Because we use all in two different ways in any language. We do it in English, but any language does it. And it depends on the context. Any of you ever had a garden, like grown something like strawberries or tomatoes, cherries? Let's use strawberries, simple little vine, put some strawberry plants. If I walk in the door into the kitchen with a little basket in my hand and say, I picked all the strawberries. Now, do I mean I picked every strawberry in the world? No. Do I mean I picked every strawberry in my garden? No. Just the ripe ones. Anybody that's ever picked strawberries knows that if you walk in the door, I got the bright red ripe ones. I left the green ones there. I'll get them next week when they turn red. And only my garden. Because if I run around the neighbors and grab their strawberries, they're not going to like that. But you see, I said I picked all the strawberries. But that all in the context means the ripe ones in my garden today. We do this all the time. We just don't think about it. So when we read something like, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive, it means everything that's according to God's will, like we read in 1 John. If God has promised it, you can pray for it. And again, if there's a general promise, God will supply my needs, he'll direct my paths, he'll give me the desires of my heart, pray for that with absolute confidence that God will come through. But don't limit God and insist he do it a certain way. You can ask for that certain way, just like you can ask for the lobster at the Burger Shack, they might have one. But you might want to say, if you don't have a lobster, I'll take the double cheeseburger with mushrooms and fried onions. Because that, you know, is on the menu. You know you can get that. Actually, I know one guy in D.C. I meet for business meetings now and then. He never orders anything. He just goes to the waitress and says, bring me a meal. And she goes and talks to the chef, and he says he gets some cool stuff that's not even on the menu because the chef has this thing he really likes, but the boss won't let him put it on the menu. He said he only got one bad meal he didn't like. But all the others have been great. He doesn't talk about not limiting God. He doesn't limit the chef. He just says, bring me a meal, and he gets cool stuff. I've never had the nerve to try that myself, but maybe I will. So whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. Mark 11. But this is a very important topic here, and I hope it makes sense what I'm sharing with you, because you don't want to go to one extreme where you think God will do nothing. You don't want to go to the other extreme where you can basically tell God what to do and he is forced to do it. You know, you could tell your waiter in the Burger Shack, you have to bring me lobster, but I got to tell you, they got a restaurant to run. They're probably not going to drop everything they're doing and run down to the fish market and bang on the door till they open it up at 10 p.m. And they're just not going to do that. They're going to say, what did you want in your cheeseburger? Because that's what they serve. Okay, Mark 11, verse 13. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. Let's jump ahead. We won't read the whole record. Come to verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. What things soever you desire. Pray and believe you'll have them. And again, based on what's available from God, you should absolutely do that. So you're there, you need a way to get to work, you know, starting Wednesday at 8 a.m., and you pray that you'll have a way to get to work, and God will find you one. I have no idea if your neighbor will give you a ride because he happens to work next door to where your job is. I have no idea if Aunt Thelma will call up and say, I have this extra car and I need somebody to drive it around for me. You just have no idea. You might just find out there's a bus line in front of your house that goes right to your new job. God will find a way. So when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And just a few of the things God's promised here. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace, all divine favor abound toward you. 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace, all divine favor abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound toward every good work. So God can give you all sufficiency in all things, never lacking. Whatever it is you need, you'll have it. And that's a great thing to pray for. Lord, I need all sufficiency in all things. You promised it. I expect it. Then just go about your day and don't worry about it. And just believe that he'll open doors for you to have it. It could be people send you work where you can earn more money. It could be people give you money. It could be you find a bargain. So what, you'd budgeted all this money for something and you pay half as much for it? Could be your situation changes and you don't even need to buy that thing anymore because you don't have to do that project that you needed it for. All kinds of things could happen. But God will find a way to give you all sufficiency in all things. Philippians 4, verse 19. Very familiar verse here. Philippians 4:19. And of course, this is in the context of abundant sharing, of giving of your first fruits to support God's work. And in that context, it says, verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And 3 John 3, third epistle of John, just before Revelation, and in verse 3, "For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified," where am I? 1 does it say God, I wish above all things? Oh, it's verse 2. That's a problem. I ought to know better. "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." So God wants you to be healthy and prosper. Again, what confuses a lot of people is there are a lot of people that, wonderful, sincere Christians, but because of the way they've been taught, they feel God might want to make you sick, to make you more humble. Well, being sick may make you humble, but God's not going to make you sick to make you humble. That's just not what he does, because he wants you to prosper and be in health. Hello, welcome. Then Romans 8, verse 37. I think we probably read this yesterday too, but... And the point of this is, every one of these you can pray for. You can pray that God will give you sufficiency. You can pray that God will supply your need. You can pray to be healthy. You can pray to prosper. Romans 8, 37. "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God." We're more than conquerors. You can pray, "Lord, I got this big challenge in life." Could be in any part of your life. And just say, "Lord, I'm just praying that I'll be more than a conqueror here. I'll be a super conqueror. I will prosper and succeed in this endeavor." And then don't worry about the details. Just go about and do your best. And you do your very best and pray that God will fill in. And I have had this happen so many times. I've had projects where I only knew how to do half of it, and I prayed, and somebody else showed up that was smarter and had other tools, and they did the other half. And instead of something that was a panic for me, it just smoothed. Or something where I needed resources, or I needed support, or, I mean, we've all had challenges. Didn't know what to do, didn't know where to go, and God showed me. God just will take care of you, but don't limit him. Find out what he's promised, believe that. And then you can ask him. And as you get better at operating the manifestations of Holy Spirit, and if he tells you, then you know. Then you pray and believe that that will come to pass. All right, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Then we have one Old Testament record to wrap up this section. Then you've got a break. But I didn't give any prizes this time because nobody falls asleep just before lunch. Or do they? I don't know. I can fall asleep anywhere. I have fallen asleep standing up singing Standing on the Promises. Or some similar song. Camping in Canaan's Land, maybe. Oh, yeah, I'm good at that. Anyway, 2 Corinthians 2. Or is that Standing on the Premises? I never mind. Can't remember. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and make us manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. So God causes us to triumph in Christ. So I can pray that I'm going to triumph through Christ. I'm going to triumph in this next situation. Expect that, and God will find a way to cause you to triumph. Now, one record to close this section before the break in 2 Kings. Very fun record. Second Kings, chapter 4. Tough situation. I talked to you a little bit yesterday about how tough it was being a widow in that culture. In the times that we're reading these records in the Bible, I'm sure being a widow is never easy, but it seems our culture has more ways to support widows today than they had then. So much so that this widow, when her husband died and left some debts, they were about to take her sons and sell them as slaves to pay off the debts. Our bankruptcy laws are more forgiving today than they were back then. If you go bankrupt, the courts will forgive various debts and take away some of your possessions, but let you keep enough to live on. And again, I'm not arguing in favor or against our bankruptcy laws. They're just very different. Whereas back then, they would literally take your children and sell them and take the proceeds from the sale of slaves to pay off the debts. And if that wasn't enough, they'd take you and make you a slave. Take the proceeds from selling you at the slave market to pay off your debts. So financial challenges are never fun, but everybody seems to have them at various times. But at least today, they're not going to take your kids and sell them into slavery. They might take away your house. They might garnish your wages. They might ruin your credit score. None of these are fun, but at least they're not going to sell anybody as slaves. Well, that's what they did then. And that's a tough situation. Yet let's see how God came through. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets. So there's a group called the sons of the prophets, sort of like their training school for people to walk with God. And one of these fellas died. There cried a woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen, to be slaves." And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thine house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Imagine, you have debts, they're about to take your sons away, and you got a bottle of Crisco. Or maybe it was canola. I don't know what it was. Olive oil. You got one bottle of oil. That's all you got. That's tough. I mean, we've all got challenges, but I've never gotten down to one bottle of Crisco, or that's all I had to my name. Well, she did. And now everything Elisha says to her is clearly by revelation, because to operate the kind of miracles you see here takes revelation. You just don't decide you're going to do this. Like walking on water, don't just, jump out of a boat 10 miles out to sea and say, "I'm going to walk back to shore." That's performing a miracle, and you can perform miracles as Christians when you get the revelation from God to do it, and you believe the revelation and act on it. Otherwise, stay in the boat. God provided the boat, stay in the boat. But if God tells you to get up and walk to shore because you need to be there and the captain of the boat refuses to turn the boat around, great, do it. Other than that, stay in the boat. And same thing here. This is performing a tremendous miracle, and by revelation, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, this can be done. There's several records in the Bible where similar things happen. Think of the loaves and the fishes with Jesus Christ. There's many. So let's read about this. So she says, "I got a pot of oil." Then he said, by revelation, verse 3, "Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few." Oh, remember, think about this too. The woman didn't go tell Elijah what to do. She went and said, "I got a problem. I need help." Elijah went to God. God told him what to do. He told her. She believed it and acted on it. They didn't limit God. And they knew exactly what to do and exactly how God was going to provide because he told them. So when you get the revelation, go with it. When you don't, pray for those general promises we read, that God will provide your needs and give you sufficiency in all things, make you more than a conqueror. So, verse 3, he said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So, verse 5, she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. So her sons went around all the neighbors, borrowed every pot and pan and jug and bottle they had, and she started pouring from this one jug and filled all the others. And it came to pass, verse 6, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel anymore. And the oil stayed. It just ceased pouring. So as long as there was an empty vessel to fill, it kept pouring. And the minute there were no more vessels, it stopped. God's like that. And it came to pass when the verse 7. And then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. So when she got up in the morning, she faced having her sons taken away. She had already lost her husband. She's about to lose her sons. By the end of the day, she had enough oil that when sold at the market, would pay off all her debt and give her money to live on. So they didn't limit God. She went there, God told them what to do, and they did it. And God will do the same for you. Sometimes you will simply pray, Lord, you promised to supply my need. This is what I need. And he'll find a way to do it. Other times, he'll give you a revelation. Or you'll just know. You'll just be praying, and all of a sudden this idea pops into your head. I got to go talk to Fred. Or I got to go look at this set of want ads. Or I got to go on Craigslist. Or I just got to go talk to Herman in the fellowship, and he'll know what to do. But you'll just know. Or like you, somebody will just walk into your office and say, hey, I got this house. Would you please take care of it for me? God will one way or another come through for you. So it's 11:04. Let's take a 15-minute break. Come back at 11:20, and we'll continue with the next section. God bless you guys. Bye-bye.